Welcome to the St. George's Leeds podcast. Sharing life, loving Leeds.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to see you all here. My name is Lizzie Wolfe. I'm the rector here at St. George's. And here at St. George's, we have a vision, as you've just heard, sharing life and loving Leeds. And we do this in four main ways: preaching Jesus, making disciples, serving the city, and sending out leaders. Our vision tells us who we are as a church. It's what St. George's is here for. And so, of course, it motivates and guides us throughout the year. But today is Vision Sunday. Now, as you might expect, Vision Sunday is a day that we set aside to think and to pray about the vision. It's also a day of invitation, when we invite each person here to be a part of what God is doing at St. George's, to be part of our vision. Sometimes people think that they are too small to make a difference. But there is an African proverb that I rather like. If you think you're too small to make a difference, you have never spent a night with a mosquito. Now, next week is Gift Sunday, and that will be an opportunity to commit afresh to the vision with prayer, serving, and financial giving. Now, we're going to have our reading, so Helen's going to come and read that to us, and then we will think about how that relates to us at St. George's.
Okay, so the reading today is taken from Luke 5:1-11. If you want to look it up in your church Bibles, it's page 974. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much. Well, we are going to start by looking at the context of our passage and how that relates to us here at St. George's. And then after that, we're going to focus on two questions. What is Jesus saying to us today? And what's our response? So, looking at the context, our passage takes place by the Lake of Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee. Now, before the main action takes place, we are told that a crowd has come to listen to Jesus teaching the Word of God. Jesus sees two boats left by the fishermen who are washing their nets after a terrible night's fishing. So he gets into one, he pushes out, and he teaches from there. Now, if you are interested in practicalities, you may like to know that along the lakeshore near Capernaum, there is a sequence of steep inlets which form natural amphitheatres. Even to this day, apparently, if you get into a boat and push out a little bit from the shore, people on the slopes of the inlet can hear you talking quite clearly, more than if you were on the shore with them. So Jesus is making the most of the natural geography of the area and the availability of a boat. Now, there are two particular things that I think are relevant to our context here at St. George's. The first one is the Word of God. In Luke chapter 5, a crowd listened to Jesus teaching the Word of God. And for a long, long time, St. George's has been a place where crowds have come to hear the Word of God. St. George's is a place where the Word of God has been treasured and taught. Some of our morning congregation were telling me how they used to come to the evening service at St. George's when they were students here in the 1970s. They told me that the lights would go down, there'd be a spotlight on the preacher, and then they would listen to 45 minutes of Bible exposition by some of the finest preachers of the day. Now, we don't have quite that sort of stamina today, but we do still prioritize the teaching of the Word of God in all our services. St. George's is also a place where the Word of God has been shared. One of my favorite things about Christmas this year was experiencing contemporary carols here for the first time. It was so creative and worshipful, and I just loved seeing the church full of guests and visitors all hearing about Jesus. St. George's is also a place where people have tried to live out the Word of God. In the 1930s, as I expect most of you know, the crypt beneath us was dug out to provide space to care for the homeless. Now, at the time, evangelical churches in this country didn't really do social action. Things have moved on since then, but at the time, the launch of the crypt was a hugely prophetic gesture. And it's still a wonderful ministry today and a key part of our identity as a church. So that's the first thing about the context of our passage that I think is similar to our context here. The second thing is hard work. In Luke chapter 5, we're told that the fishermen had been working hard all night. There are lots of people at St. George's who have been working hard. There are people here today who have been working hard in their studies, jobs, families, and friendships, seeking to serve Jesus in every aspect of their lives. There are people here today who have prayed faithfully for this church, given hours and hours of volunteer time and energy to the vision, and given sacrificially to church finances. If that is you, thank you. I pray that it has been a joy and a blessing to you, and that you have discovered the truth of Jesus' words, "Whoever loses their life for me will find it." But there is a key difference between St. George's and the passage, and I hope everyone has spotted this. We are told that the fishermen had been working hard all night and they hadn't caught anything. But at St. George's, wonderful things have happened. There's a long, rich heritage of fruitful Christian mission and ministry. Many people have come to faith in Jesus, and many lives have been transformed. We've heard from Ella today, but of course what we hear on Sundays is only the tip of the iceberg. As we share life in our small groups and networks, we discover much more about what God is doing in and through his people here. So if you're not currently in a small group or a network, I would really encourage you to give one a try. We're going to hear from one of our volunteers now. So Miriam is going to come. Fantastic. So Miriam, I'm going to start off by just asking you what you normally do, what your day job, as it were, is.
Great. So my day job, as it is I'm a PhD student up at the University of Leeds. So I'm currently in my second year there.
Fantastic. What are you studying?
So my PhD is in biological sciences, so it's looking at heart failure and hopeful treatments, in
Brilliant.
Theory.
Fantastic. But you volunteer here, again, as part of our children's team, I think with our 6 to 11s group.
Yes, that's right.
So can you tell us a little bit about what that involves?
Yeah, so on a Sunday morning, when everyone up here is hearing some teaching, all of the 6 to 11s gather downstairs in the center, and they also hear some teaching from looking at a passage that we're focusing on that week, and then we also talk through about how they can apply that to their daily lives, and also we do some worship and we pray with them, and we just have a great time talking about God.
Fantastic. So tell us why you do it, what you enjoy about that.
One of the great things that brings me joy from working with the 6 to 11s is actually the people that you serve with and you surround yourself with. It's an amazing opportunity within such a big church like this to actually work alongside people who you would not normally meet in everyday life outside of the church. And it's just a pure joy.
Fantastic. And tell us something about what you've seen God do.
So I suppose relating a bit back to the vision of St. George's, sharing life, loving Leeds, it's really encouraging and also humbling to listen to the kids on a Sunday morning as they tell us a bit about their week. And especially one of the things that always sticks in my mind is when they say how they've spoken to a friend at school about what they do on a Sunday morning, about their relationship with God. And they are sharing their life. And for me, I find that very difficult at times outside of church, outside of a Sunday, to find a way of doing that. But yet it comes so easily and naturally to them. And that is a real encouragement to see how God is working in their lives.
Fantastic. Thank you. Let's give Miriam a round of applause. So that's a little bit about the context. Now let's move on and think about what Jesus is saying to us now. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, Jesus says to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now, in that part of the world, fish are more likely to be caught at night. The fishermen had been working hard all night for nothing. The last thing that they would normally do is start all over again in daylight. Imagine for a moment that Jesus comes to your workplace, and he tells you to do something that you know will be a pointless waste of time and effort. Imagine that you decide to do it anyway. And astonishingly, things click into place. You see amazing results. Jesus says to you, "From now on, you and I are going to be working together." I actually think that that's a specific word for somebody who is here today. But whatever your line of work, it is always good to remember that Jesus knows more about it than you do. Back at church, I believe that Jesus is asking us to do our equivalent of putting out into deep water and letting down the nets for a catch. We do not want to live off the glory days of the past. I do not want St. George's to become known as the church that used to have a fantastic student ministry and used to be really good at serving the poor. We want to be part of writing the stories of the future, part of building the kingdom of God here in Leeds. I was recently sent some official Church of England attendance statistics, and I thought I would share them with you tonight. Apparently, 1.7% of the UK population regularly attend a Church of England church, and the age profile of churches is significantly older than the population. Now, the 60 largest urban areas in the UK together account for about half the population, about 29 million people. And in these areas, attendance drops to 1.4%. The city of Leeds is below average at 1.1%. This is a huge and exciting challenge. There are a lot of people in Leeds who need to hear the good news of Jesus. So what does putting out into deep water and letting down the nets actually look like at St. George's in 2018? I'm going to highlight a couple of things tonight. And the first one is that we have been asked by the diocese to step up as a resource church for Leeds. What does that mean? Well, there are lots of different types of church. All of them are needed if we're going to reach Leeds and the north of England with the gospel. Resource churches are different to typical parish churches. They're often in city centre locations, as we are, and they draw people from a wider area than their own parish, as we do. We've got people coming from all over Leeds. But as well as drawing from a wider area, resource churches think more widely and give away more widely. The key concept is intentionally giving away in order to bless the city and see the kingdom of God grow. One of the main ways that we can do this is by church planting, but there are some other ways as well. For example, we want to invest in our intern program. Now, it is already an excellent program with leadership and ministry training, lots of opportunities to serve, grow, and be challenged. Essentially, you get to spend a year being equipped for life, work and leadership. But now we want to develop it in partnership with the diocese so that interns from other churches can participate as well. If you are interested in being an intern for our next academic year, there's a meeting on the 7th of February. The details are on the notice sheet, or you can talk to me or to Luke after the service. Another example is opening up some of our events so that people from other churches can come. Things like training events or our Alpha Days, our youth weekend away. We took the youth group from another church with us. Now, resource churches are not better or worse than any other kind of church. We can do things that a little parish church can't because of our size, our location, our resources, but equally, they can do things that we can't. Every church needs to follow God's call and play to their strengths, and then we all need to work together to reach the people of Leeds with the gospel, just like the fishermen in the story needed their partners to bring in the catch of fish. So that's the first way that we are letting out the nets, by stepping up as a resource church for Leeds. The second way is that we need to raise £100,000 on top of our current regular giving. That's an increase of about 20% on our current giving. Now, I know that that is a really big number, so I'm going to talk in just very round numbers to give us an idea of what's happening. Because that £100,000 is made up of three key factors. The first one is on the income side. So our projected income for 2018 has gone down because of the plant to St. Paul's Arnhem Wood. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, you'll probably remember, we commissioned 44 people to go as our church planting team to St. Paul's Arnhem Wood, which is a church about 5 miles away from here. Now, that is something to be celebrated. Sending out leaders is a key part of our vision. It is going to be great for the kingdom of God in Leeds. They are going to be such a blessing to Arnhem Wood. But those people gave in excess of £50,000 every year to the church. Their giving will now go to Ireland Wood, as it should, but we need to replace it here just to keep on doing what we have been doing. So that's the income side. Then the other two reasons are to do with the expenditure side of a budget, so our costs going up. And there are two reasons why our costs are going up this year. The first one is to do with staff costs. They have increased by about £20,000 because we've got two new posts. Firstly, we are recruiting for an operations director. You'll have been praying for that over the last few weeks. We've had 11 really strong applications. We're interviewing three people on Wednesday. So please do keep praying for the right appointment there. And we've also got a new international student worker. Laura Palmer has been with us since September, I think. Is that right, Laura? September. And she's heading up a fantastic team of great volunteers. Now, in the Great Commission, Jesus sends his disciples to the nations. But there is a sense that here at Leeds, the nations come to us. There are over 6,000 international students in Leeds from over 130 countries, some of whom have never heard the gospel before. Many of them will return home to positions of influence in their home country. Now, Laura tells me that she is in regular contact with about 60 international students who are either exploring or growing in their Christian faith. We're going to hear from Eleanor next week to give us a little flavour of what that can look like. Then the second reason that our costs have gone up this year is that there's been a change in the way that Lighthouse is being funded. Now, last week in the morning, John Swales spoke very movingly about Lighthouse, and I'd really encourage you to download that sermon and listen to it if you weren't there. Lighthouse is our community that reaches out to those who are bruised and battered by the storms of life. Now, some of you will know that when Lighthouse started about 3 years ago, the PCC agreed to give £20,000 a year for the first 3 years from our Strategic Mission Fund, which is a part of our reserves. The PCC has now decided that we should keep funding Lighthouse on an ongoing basis, but the money should come from our main budget, not from the reserves. So that means that we need to raise an extra £20,000 a year. The Strategic Mission Fund is really for startup costs, one-off things, and in any case, it's now becoming rather depleted. The main budget, our regular giving, is how we fund all of our ongoing ministries. I think that serving the poor is part of our identity as a church. It's part of what makes St. George's St. George's. Lighthouse is a wonderful expression of that. It's never going to be self-sustaining. The guests at Lighthouse cannot pay for their own pastor, but it's kingdom work, and we want to support it. Now, Millie is going to come and interview Ben for us, so do come and join us up here. Millie is one of our Lighthouse pastors. And you've got someone who's a volunteer, I think.
Yes, Ben's coming down now.
Brilliant.
We had a classic Lighthouse clap, as we do very much in Lighthouse services. Great. Ben, do you want to join me? So I'm one of the Lighthouse pastors, and Ben, you've been helping out at Lighthouse. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved and things and what you do there?
Yeah, so I think it was about 3 months ago you spoke about those who, you know, sit at the back of church and, you know, you may be a bit nervous, you may think, oh, I don't know what to do. And then, strange thing, the week before that, I'd changed my contract in work. So I was working 6 days a week, and then I had Sundays and Tuesdays off, and that ties in with Lighthouse on a Sunday and then Lighthouse School on a Tuesday. And so, yeah, just took it from there.
Great. So on a Sunday and Tuesday, what kind of things do you get up to at Lighthouse?
So on a Sunday, it's can't get my ways out. I get nervous.
You do really well.
More like it's a service for those going through addiction and those with homeless and stuff like that. So I'm not really the sort to go out and preach, but it's just a chance to sit down and talk with those who may go through storms of life on their own and just be a friend to them, be there for them, chat to them, and just know that there's someone there for them. And then on Tuesday, it's more Bible-based, so I help out with that, so I may talk about my experience of life and stuff like that. And I've actually learned a lot from them as well, which has been great.
So for your faith, how has it kind of impacted that and changed you, would you say?
Well, it's only been 3 months, but it seems a lot longer because, you know, I was just like the sort that would come to church and attend and stuff like that. But it's actually helped me in work because I lead the team of 15 in work and that. And then, like, it's really results-based and getting targets every day and stuff like that. But it's helped me slow down. And then it's helped me live, like, not like Jesus, but God-like and live for Jesus and to show Jesus through the work that I do. And that inspires my team as well to you know, Ben, why are you happy? You know, why have you changed and stuff like that? And it's like, well, because, there's someone that loves me. And then I think that's the best thing at the end of the day. So it's helped my faith tremendously.
Great, thank you.
Thanks. Fantastic, thank you. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you very much. So we've seen how Jesus says, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And for us at St. George's in 2018, I think that means a stepping up as a resource church and also raising £100,000. What I want to do now is to move on and to think about our last question, which is, what's our response? In Luke chapter 5, Simon answers, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. I always imagine a long pause at this point. And then he says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And then we're told, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. And then Simon, James, and John leave everything to follow Jesus. What about us? What about you? Maybe you are here tonight and you are in the position of someone who's a little way back on the shore. You've heard some of what Jesus is saying, enough to know that there's something going on. Maybe you've seen other people's lives being changed and you're intrigued. If that is you and you want to find out more, please do come and join us at Alpha on Wednesday. We would love to see you there. Or maybe you're sitting in the pause now. Simon pointed out to Jesus the reasons not to let out the nets again, and then he paused. There are always reasons why we can't really get involved right now. Maybe you think you need to focus on your studies now and you can serve God later. Maybe you are genuinely very busy with family or work commitments right now. Maybe you're not earning enough. Maybe you don't have the right skills. Maybe you've already done your bit. There are always reasons why not. But Jesus calls us just as we are. He has given us a vision. And he has a part for each one of us to play, praying, serving, or giving. This season might be different from the way that you've contributed in the past or the way that you'd like to contribute in the future, but there's always something that you can do to make a difference. Or maybe you are sitting here today and your response is to say a wholehearted yes to Jesus, like so many people at St. George's over the years. In Luke chapter 5, Simon said yes to Jesus. He let down the nets and he was astonished at the catch of fish. I think when we say yes to Jesus, we might be astonished at what happens. I think Jesus has plans for Leeds and for St. George's that we would never have dreamed of. Of course, there is cost involved. But there's also great joy. Because Jesus promises whoever loses their life for him will find it. Now, in a moment, we are going to pray together, as we usually do at the end of the service. And you might need this time to wrestle with God over your response. I'd love to encourage you to be honest before God. If there are things that are holding you back from saying yes to Jesus, then bring them before him. And if you think that it would help you to talk things through with someone, maybe ask God to bring someone to mind, someone that you could approach this week and ask them whether you can chat things through with them. Or maybe you're saying, yes, I'm in, I want to play my part in the vision. If that's you, then I would encourage you to spend this time asking God what he would like you to do. Pray, serve, give. Please don't think that what you've got is so small that it wouldn't make a difference. This is not really about that. It's much more about saying yes to Jesus and doing whatever he asks us to do.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.